Good morning. This is Sally Richards with In the Garden, and this is KUCI 88.9 in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. You can access our shows live, which you're listening to, hopefully, right now on Thursday morning at 8:30, or you can listen as a podcast online at KUCI.org, and just go to Thursday morning at 8:30 to 9:30, and you'll see In the Garden, and you can pick out whatever podcast you'd like to hear. You can also, if you have trouble, maybe you've got insects that are eating something or your leaves are turning brown and you go, oh, I don't know what that is, you can go to mgorange.ucann.edu, and that is our Master Garden hotline. And we have a whole group of ladies and gentlemen who are master gardeners that will help you identify what your problem is, and we will get back with an answer. Now, that is through email, so you're not going to talk directly with someone, but if you can send us pictures, that really helps, and we will get back with you and tell you what you can do to resolve your problem, and any solutions that we can give you, we will email you back, and you can go back and forth. So that's MG, like Master Gardener, Orange, like Orange County, .ucann.edu. That's University of California's webpage. And just look for gardening questions, and then that will come up. This morning, we're going to be talking about color for the winter garden. This show is airing in October, so here we are in California. Things are starting to cool off here, and now we have to start thinking about our winter garden. And this morning, we've got Kathy Moyne. I said it right. Oh, good. And she's going to talk to us about what's going on at one of the local nurseries here, and what we're bringing in for our winter annuals that we can plant right now. And so, Kathy, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. As a child, I was given my own garden. I grew up in Colorado, so my mom gave me my own little garden area, and I had to take care of it and weed it and plant it. And my grandmother had a large peach acre that she tended. And so I grew up riding on the trailer and you know, helping pick and eat, of course, taste them and test them, you know, of course. And then now my husband's grandmother has a 15,000 square foot fruit tree plot in Carson, California. So we help her maintain that area there. So we have pretty much every kind of fruit tree you could think of.
Nice thing about being in Southern California.
That's right. Exactly. So that gives us a lot of good experience. I've been working at Green Thumb since 1994. And I started in what we call the garden shop, which is where the fertilizers and the insecticides are. Mm-hmm. So I got my teeth wet or chewed on that for a while and learned all that kind of stuff. And then I studied for the California Certified Nurseryman's Test, which is basically 200 plants that you have to ID and be able to spell their names, the Latin and the common, know what they do, be able to do a landscape design, know all the pests, the weeds and pests and diseases and how to take care of them. And then I went on to, after I passed that, I went on to do the advanced certifications, which included pest, weeds, and diseases, irrigation. I just did their rose, and they've got a new one now. It's roses and rose care, so I just did that one. And I also did the advanced sales techniques. So that helps a lot with my customer service. And then I also teach a lot of the at the garden clubs, a lot of the local garden clubs. I've done Leisure World, Casa del Sol, Lake Forest, Palmia, the Christian Women's Club, which meets in different places. The latest one I did, the Cota de Casa Garden Club came down to Green Thumb, and we launched a new thing we're trying at Green Thumb called Coffee with Kathy.
I saw that online. I thought that was a really clever idea.
Yeah,
really nice.
Yeah. So what what we do is the first Tuesday of every month, we meet at 10 o'clock and we have coffee and just kind of sit around and chit chat with people about garden. And it's not as formal as a regular lecture. So what I do is I ask people to comment if they've got something that's applicable to what we're talking about. And we learn from each other because gardeners, you know, we all have our own techniques. We all have different experiences. So I learn something new every day. I mean,
well, one of the things that I learned, because I moved from Michigan and about 5 years ago, is when I went to, of course, I could identify every flower in Michigan. I could look at it, knew what it was. Mm-hmm. But when I moved here, it wasn't the same. And so one of the things that I had to realize was that we have so many different zones here. If you live on the side of the mountain, or mm-hmm. what side of the street do you live on?
Right.
What side of the house are your things planted on?
Coastal, inland.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is, I mean, it's not like a nice flat area where I was, and we had Lake Michigan and we had some lake effect, but that was pretty much it, all up and down the coast. That's not the case here. So that's pretty valuable, and it's kind of confusing about zones too. But so what we're going to talk about today is transitioning into the winter garden. And so what's going on in the gardens right now?
Well, we're kind of transitioning out of the summer annuals. Some of them will still kind of hang around, like a lobelia and alyssum. Those guys we sell year-round. Mm-hmm. The pinks, as you call the little miniature carnations or sweet williams, those we sell year-round, so those stick around. But we're getting the dahlias and the marigolds, and those guys are going to start transitioning out. The leaves are starting to turn a little bit. You're starting to see how the sap is starting to go down into the roots, and
so
the plants are going dormant.
Is that what's happening then? It's cooler, and so
some plants go by length of day, and other plants will go by the weather, like how cold it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, it's more so the length of day than anything. If they're going to go completely dormant, drop all their leaves, we call that deciduous, then it's usually the length of day. Or temperature, like crepe myrtles. Sometimes they'll hang on to their leaves. If it's warm, they'll hang on to their leaves until it gets cool. And then if we have a cool summer, they won't re-leaf out. But it's been lately, we've been had warm summers and warm springs,
yes.
So they leaf out pretty quickly. So it, like I said, it depends on temperature and then also the length of days. Now there's things that go dormant, maybe not drop their leaves. Like some of the California natives they're dormant. They're not actively growing in the summer because they're just trying to survive, like the rest of us.
Sure.
It's, you know, 100 and something degrees out there, and they're not getting the kind of water that they would like to have gotten probably. So they have adapted and learned how to kind of shut themselves down. They're still performing photosynthesis, but they're not actively growing. So they're living off of what they've stored in their carbohydrates that they've stored and the sugars that they've stored. And then when it gets cool again, then they start to grow. And then they also hopefully get our winter rains, and then they've got their nutrients and their things coming from the winter rains.
So when that happens, is most of the storage like in the roots? Are there, like the top maybe not, doesn't look so good, and you think maybe it's dead, and you go, well, maybe I should pull it out. So we pretty much need to know which ones we shouldn't pull out and which ones we should pull out.
That's correct. Like the ceanothus, California lilacs, those stay green pretty much year round. But they're not actively growing.
Mm-hmm.
Now like a pittosporum, the silver sheen pittosporums, which a lot of people have planted, have had terrible luck with them in the summer because they actually go dormant. They don't drop their leaves, but they cut back and they're not growing and they're not really uptaking water. And so us thinking, oh, it's 100 and something degrees out there. I'm hot. I know I'm thirsty. I'm sure those guys are too. And then they start watering a little more and then they start to droop and they're thinking, oh, they need even more water.
Oh, no.
So what happens is they end up giving them root rot and they die. I mean, we stopped selling the silver sheens in the summertime because we had so many deaths.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if we can educate the people, a lot of times if you put those guys in and I let the tips droop before I water mine. Mm-hmm. You know, you water it good, and then once it's drooped, then you can water it again. But I've got one that I've had for 4 years. I don't water it at all. It gets water from its neighbors. And now that it's cooling, it's starting to actually get some growth on it. So that's kind of the difference between dormant and deciduous.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about some. We talked about the why some plants go dormant, lower light levels. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, the plant growth is slower. So right. You're going, I've heard a lot of people complain like, oh, my gosh, it's not doing anything. It's not growing. It's not blooming. It's not doing anything. Well, okay, they're taking a nap.
Right.
They're just going
to They're trying
rest.
To survive, yes. Whatever situation is going on, they're just trying to survive, whether it be cold or heat.
Yeah. So the cooler air is one of the things that will make it do it. Mm-hmm. And then as we get later into the fall, because we're here in October now, we're going to get more rain. Hopefully.
Yes.
We should get more rain.
You never know.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about some of the winter annuals and specifically a little later. And, of course, there's some winter perennials, too. Mm-hmm. But can I plant a lot of people? You see a ton of bulbs in the stores right now. Mm-hmm. Can I plant my bulbs now for winter bloom? Winter bloom.
Generally, the bulbs are not a winter bloom. They're usually you plant your fall bulbs for spring flowers, and then you plant your winter bulbs. Usually, we get those in January for your summer flowers. So right now, we've got the tulips, crocus, hyacinths, iris, daffodils. There's some freesias, anemones, stuff like that. The tulips, crocus, and hyacinths need to be chilled in the refrigerator for 4 to 6 weeks because those guys are, they don't naturalize in our soils. They come from places where it's colder, but being in California, we can have our cake and eat it too.
Well, in some we can.
Yes.
One of the things that I found that I had peonies and I couldn't bring them, and it was a shame because I had like 20 of them, but mm-hmm. That's one of those things, they have to have that dormant time.
Correct.
And so this is the first year that I've put my bulbs in the refrigerator, and I got a little note on when I need to take them out.
Right, right.
And so then I'll put them in the ground later. But you have to fool them.
Right, yes, you have to fool them, yeah. And that means you need to dig them up again the following year and do the same thing. Chill them for 4 to 6 weeks.
You need to mark them. So how right. Do you do anything special when you plant yours so you know where they are? Or do you just go back and go, okay, I think they're here.
I don't plant mine. I don't waste my time with them. There's so many other flowers and plants that you can, you know, I guess if you came from a place where that's something you grew up with and you're trying to keep that feeling, you know, my hometown and trying mm-hmm. to keep that feeling, then yeah, you can put them in pots.
Oh, sure.
And then that way it's easy to just store them and then you can dig them up later. I guess you'd have to put a little, you know, ID thing there, you know, they've got those little tags.
One of the things that we used to do, because we always used to get squirrels and moles and voles and dogs would dig up your plants because you put bone meal in with it.
Right.
Bulbs.
Right.
So they're looking for the bone. But they used to have a little strainer. It was a plastic strainer. And you would put the bulbs on that and then you would plant that. So you'd be able to dig up the strainer in the fall.
Oh.
Because, you know, they were about 12 inches. I'm sure you could probably get them online. I haven't seen anybody use them here. Yeah. But we did in Michigan. And, you know, they're 12 or 15 inches wide, a circle. And then it's got holes in it, kind of like when we used to do placing.
Like a sifter.
Went through it.
Yeah.
And then you put the dirt right on top
sure.
of it, bury it underground, and then you just, you know, they're usually an odd color like red or something like that, so you can see it easily once
at.
You
mm-hmm.
pull it out, and then you can pull them up, and then you have them, and then you can store them in that too.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to, you know, keep them if you want to know where they are, and you've
sure.
got them planted in a nice area. That's always a nice presentation when they start to grow. So besides the bulbs, and we also have, you can plant seeds now in the winter for winter bloom.
Correct.
So what would be some of those things that would probably be a good thing that we could actually start now in October that we could probably get flowers from this winter?
Well, you would be your pansies and violas, and you could probably do snaps. I think you have enough time. I mean, because we stay so warm, mm-hmm. till, you know, we can have 70, 80 degree weather in December. So, and even sometimes into January. So I think you could pretty much, I think most of the winter annuals that you get right now, if you're planting them now, the seeds that are in the stores right now, you should be able to have good results if you start them now.
And that's always a good thing when you go into your local nursery or your big box store. They'll carry the seeds that mm-hmm. grow during that season.
Correct.
I've been in to Green Thumb, and all of a sudden there weren't any seeds on the shelves, and I'm going, well, but I want to plant some, right. and you're doing a change out.
Right.
So you can get the right ones in there. I don't right. know if everybody knows that, but yeah. so that you can feel comfortable that, you know, you can look at those things and go, okay, I know I can put those in the ground now. And a lot of people don't think about planting for winter color, but my goal was always to have something blooming all year round.
Correct.
I'm in the right spot.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, it's seeds, if you have patience and time, mm-hmm. they're great. I'm so busy that I don't necessarily mess with seeds, so I usually get the little starters myself. Unless you want something crazy or different, you know, there's a couple of those winter plants that don't, or even summer plants that you can't get already planted. So that gives you diversity there.
And then some catalogs too.
Yeah.
Will have unusual, more right. Mediterranean
right.
climate zone, and so a lot of those odd things that you won't necessarily find in the stores locally, you can find in catalogs. And you know, I used to do a lot of catalog buying, but now I'm doing more Mediterranean catalog buying because mm-hmm. they're and because I really like unusual stuff, not
right.
the plain old everything that I've got growing. So. Oops, let's see how we're doing. I just want to remind everyone that we're in the garden, KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, and we're talking about color for the winter garden. And this morning I have Kathy Moyne here with me, and we're talking about things that will bloom in the garden in the wintertime. So now you'll have color too. How about vegetables for color?
Yeah, there's actually some pretty interesting things. We just started getting, and we seems like we didn't have them last year. There's a bunch of different Asian greens that we've been getting.
Huh.
And there's one that I really like. It's called Mizuna, M-I-Z-U-N-A, Mizuna Purple. And it's beautiful.
Is it a lettuce? Or
it's like it's a leafy green.
Oh.
And I tasted it. I don't really know how to explain it on the
radio.
Yeah, on the radio, but it's got a kind of a nutty flavor to it. And it's not bitter. It's actually very nice, and it's beautiful. It's got like a little ruffly leaf, and the color is just nice and purple. And it looks to be like it's going to be about a 6 to 8 inch plant.
Hmm.
And we also got this other one called, I'm probably going to say this wrong, Hansaita. It's H-A-N-T-S-A-I-T-A-I. And I'm sure a lot of our Irvine people would know that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure I did not say it right. But that's another Asian green that also has kind of purple veins with green, and it's leafy. It's the same thing, and they would be like some really neat border type things that you could put in around the edges
and
of your flower.
Would that be something for salad?
Salads, stir fries.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. So you could do the golden oregano. Golden oregano is very pretty. It's chartreuse, and it'll be like a ground cover. And it's very hardy, even summer and winter. It actually seems to do a little bit better in the winter, I think, because of the cooler, or the lighter colored leaves.
Oh, yeah.
It actually seems to do a little bit better in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's great for putting in your,
pizza.
Well, pizza, spaghetti,
oh,
spaghetti
yeah.
sauces,
any
Italian stuff, your marinades. That's mm-hmm. great for marinades. We put it in with eggs. It's really good stuff.
I know a lot of people don't think about putting herbs and spices, you know, from your garden in the winter into
mm-hmm.
your food, but
yeah.
why not?
Yeah, yeah.
They can grow them.
Yeah, oh yeah. Parsley actually grows, and cilantro actually grow better in the winter than they do in the summer because they want to bolt.
Yeah.
Bolt meaning flower. And right. once they flower, they get kind of weird and bitter.
I think that's the whole point of the plant growing is they want to make themselves proliferate.
Right.
So they're going to
they're
have a
worried.
Flower,
yeah.
they're going to have a seed. Mm-hmm. And once they get to mm-hmm. the seed point,
it's like, I'm done.
Okay, now it's time to go to sleep and I'm done. Yeah.
That's exactly.
And so that's true of even your regular plants when you're getting your flowers. Dad had them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get some more because
exactly.
they think, oh my gosh, it didn't go to seed. I have to produce some more flowers.
Right. Exactly. They're not giving us flowers because they like to give us flowers.
Yeah.
They're giving flowers so they can survive.
You kind of have to think like a flower.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. I want to get to some of the different flowers that we have that are winter annuals. And we were just talking about pansies a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you go, sometimes you'll see pansies and violas. Is there a difference between those? Are those both the same?
There is a difference. Pansies generally are a larger flower. So they're going to be about a 50-cent piece size in diameter usually. Mm-hmm. Violas are more like a dime. They're smaller. Violas trail more.
Oh.
Pansies seem to have a little more problems with crown rot, especially in the winter when they stay too wet. Mm-hmm. And you also don't want to bury them too deep. A lot of people will bury their little crowns where the crown is where the plant attaches to the ground, where it actually attaches to the roots.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put too much soil over the top of the root ball, that gets around that crown and it can actually cause crown rot.
And that's true of most plants.
Correct. There's a few like tomatoes, cabbages, you can bury those deep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to be a problem for those guys because they'll root off the stems. But pansies, violas are not quite as touchy, but pansies can be pretty touchy. And once you get that crown rot, it's usually in the soil. So you should try to think about cycling or rotating your plant material. So maybe one year use pansies, the next year use maybe begonias, or you know, just switch them around because once it gets into that soil, it kind of hangs out there, and it just looks like somebody cut the plant off at the ground. And you know, you pick it up, and you think, "What did this?"
Yeah.
And really, it's a crown rot. A lot of people think it's like a caterpillar or something, and it can be cutworms because cutworms do that. But when you're talking about a pansy, usually it's the crown rot that's the problem. Violas don't seem to get that as much. So to me, they seem to be a little more hardier. Violas, we do have violas and pansies in the nursery right now. I think it's a little early for me
mm-hmm.
to put pansies in because as you see, we still in October, until we get to about Halloween, we can have a day or two of hot weather.
And
we can also get some good old Santa Ana winds coming in,
yeah.
which is also going to make it hot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's trying to come in right now as we speak. they can struggle a little bit. But the violas seem to be a little more hardier and they seem to last a little bit longer at the end of the season as well. You can get them to go in because people will come in and they say, where's your pansies or violas? And we're like, well, they're gone. We're going into the summer and people are like, but I still have them growing. And it's like, well,
yes.
Yeah, but you know, and you have to realize that the growers they're here to make money. It's their business. And they're going to put in the plant material that will sell the best during that time.
Right.
So, and they have, you got to think about it, they've only got space for so much, so they have to grow their summer annual, their summer annuals with their winter annuals. And
yeah,
then, so then they have to start cycling, which is what we're doing now. We're cycling out of the summer stuff. Most of your summer stuff will go until December. But if you put in your summer stuff, it's only going to go till December.
Yeah. Well,
so.
I was reading a real interesting article, and it said, for people who move to Southern California, drive around and see what's blooming.
Mm.
The problem is, you don't want to do that because you really have to start stuff ahead of time.
Right.
Because I did the snowbird thing for a couple of years before we decided to move out here. And we'd come in January, February, and March, and I'd see these beautiful primrose growing
mm-hmm.
and thinking, oh, I should put those in the ground and
right.
I'm going to give them to my sister. She lives here and
yeah.
they'll look pretty.
Yeah.
And by the time March came, they were dead. They were gone. And I went, well, well, that didn't grow very long, or it didn't take hold, or whatever.
And then you get disappointed.
Yeah. And I thought, well, but it's wintertime. It's cold here. Well, no. If you're going to plant a winter garden, this is the time to do it, in October, September, late October, September, early October, actually all through October, because everything is cooling off.
Right.
And then you're going to get that longer period where you're going to have that color. Don't necessarily, I mean, so you're listening to the show in November going, oh, no, I missed the window. No, you didn't miss the window. You can buy plants, and you can still enjoy them for the, you know, the next couple of months.
Oh, yeah.
But once it starts getting later and later into the winter time, you know, don't wait. Get them in early, and then you can enjoy them for a lot longer.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So one of my favorites are snapdragons.
Yes.
So, and those come in different colors and heights. And
yes. The rockets are usually your taller ones. They can come in at 30 to 36 inches.
Wow.
There's a medium one that's about 18 inches. And then we've got the new dwarfs. They brought in some dwarfs now that only get from 6 to 12 inches. And they're really cute, you know. They make a nice little bush.
Yeah.
The snapdragons are probably one of the more hardier ones.
Mm-hmm.
They will take the heat a little bit better. So when we get this weird, you know, hot spells, they might droop a little bit, but they'll usually snap back as soon as the hot sun gets off of them. Then they'll snap back up again. Hence the name snapdragon, right?
They do really well in the shade.
The only problem with snaps is occasionally you can get rust, and that's a little brown spots on the underside of the leaves. And again, that's if you keep planting them in the same place over and over again. I mean, you can use a fungicide on them, but if once you get it, you need to rotate it, and you know, maybe plant something else like stalks in that spot instead of the snaps, because stalks will also give you the height. They're not as good a performer, but the stalks do have fragrance, so that's kind of nice, whereas the snaps don't.
Yeah.
But snaps are, like you said, an awesome plant. They do well.
Yeah, that was my, when I was a little kid and I first went and actually snapped a snapdragon, and I just kind of squeezed it.
Yes.
And it talked to me.
Exactly.
It was so cute. I thought, oh man, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And so that's fun when you're working with kids in the garden too, and show them that. Have them talk to you, and then they can do it too. So that's always fun. And yeah, I have my snapdragons in, and yes, I'm watering them in, and they've only been in about a week, but I'm checking them every day to make sure that those roots get in. And that's something that I need to. Everybody should know this, and they don't. Once you dig that hole, you don't just plop the plant in,
right?
And so, give us some tips on what's a good way to plant one of those coming out of the six pack. What you can do?
You're gonna prep your hole with some kind of a planter's mix. I like to use EB Stone planting compost, which you can get, I'm sure, at other nurseries other besides Green Thumb and the big box stores. I think they carry that. Just some kind of planter's mix, and then you make your hole about the same depth, a little bit wider of the root ball, and then that soil you pull out, you mix about 50-50 with your planter's mix. You can put a little bit of bone meal in there if you want to help with the transplant and to help it establish roots and to also encourage the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
The fertilizers come with nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. The nitrogen does your greening and your top growth. Your phosphorus does your roots and your flowers, and potassium does the overall health of the plant. So you can remember that by up, down, all around. Up for greening and growth, down for roots and flowers, all around for your general health of the plant. Bone meal is mostly phosphorus. So potassium and phosphorus. So that actually is going to help to force your roots and also to give you flowers, which is what we're after. You can also use a mild starting fertilizer. We carry a product called Down to Earth that has a nice starter fertilizer, which has mycorrhizae fungus. Mycorrhizae fungus is what helps the plant to assimilate between the soil, and it helps it to get water, it helps it to get nutrients, it actually kind of protects the roots a little bit from diseases, soil-borne diseases, things like that. Not not so much bugs. The bugs will go right through the mycorrhizae fungus. But it's they discovered it when they were, were putting, planting trees out in the forest. And they were planting trees in this area and in this other area, and next thing you know, the trees were not doing well in one area, and they were doing great in other areas, and they're thinking, okay, what's going on here? So they go into the soil and they realize, oh, these had mycorrhizae fungus, the ones that were doing well, and the ones that weren't doing well didn't have these mycorrhizae fungus.
Wow.
So they've actually figured out that they need to, they could put that in fertilizers and actually inoculate the roots of these plants. So a lot of the fertilizers have that in there now.
Wow, that's terrific. Well, I got to take a break right now. This is KUCI 88.9 in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. And you can access the show live or as a podcast. We're on Thursday morning at 8:30 to 9:30, or you can go online to KUCI.org and look for podcasts on Thursday morning. And we're talking about winter colors for our garden. And right now we're talking to Kathy Moyne about planting some, like, from our six packs that we get in the nursery. And we're talking about fertilizer. And I know, just for those that don't know this, there are three numbers on a fertilizer bag.
Yes.
So what do those stand for?
That's the first one was nitrogen, second one is phosphorus, and third one is potassium.
So when they have, but they have numbers next to them.
Right.
So
that's the percentage of per pound.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have 3% nitrogen in a pound of the product, et cetera, et cetera.
So in the, for winter planting, what should we look for numbers? High numbers or low numbers? Or
well, most of your, if I like to plant with organic fertilizers because it makes the soil healthier.
Mm-hmm.
If you have healthy soil, you have healthy plants. You have less diseases. You have less problems with insects because the synthetic fertilizers have a tendency to cause a surge growth. And even though you put the fertilizer on there and you go and the plant goes and it grows and you're going, yeah, that's great. And so do the bugs. The bugs are going, yeah, that's great. Yum. Let me go over. Yeah. Let me go over and get that nice tender green growth because it's great. So I like to use the organic fertilizers because you have less surge growth. You have better root systems. It doesn't deplete the soil. It doesn't cause salts and things. I'm probably getting a little crazy right now, but it doesn't put salts into the ground soil. I mean, we're going to get sued by the
whoever.
Yeah.
But you're probably looking for like lower numbers then.
Lower numbers. Yeah.
Yeah.
The starter fertilizer that I like to recommend is a 3-3-3. 3%, 3%.
And that, 3%. Yeah. And that'll give you a good, I mean, we're talking about the winter here. So growth in the winter isn't necessarily really fast.
Correct.
Like it probably is in the summer.
Correct.
So they're not going to pull up a lot of nutrients anyway.
Right.
As quickly.
Right. And your microorganisms that are in the soil that break up that product are not as active once the soil temp goes below 50 degrees. So really, you pretty much want to fertilize when you plant, and then you probably won't need to do much until it gets warmer on the other side.
And you're ready to plant your summer stuff.
Right,
yeah, well, one of my favorites is cyclamen.
And
they're always, I mean, they have big trays and of colors to
nice and vibrant,
and I just love them.
Yeah.
So you can tell me a little bit about cyclamens and what kind of colors and how big do they get?
Cyclamens generally will range about 6 to 8 inches high and wide. As they get older, if they do survive, they can actually get a little bit bigger. They are bulbs, so they if you look at a cyclamen, usually you'll see at the base where the plant comes out there is a little bulb there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the more expensive ones, like the florist grown ones, usually have a little bit bigger bulb because of a little bit bigger plant. But they will get bigger if they survive. Most people kill them with kindness, and that's usually too much water.
Yeah, and a lot of times you get them as a gift. So
right.
If you get one as a gift, can we put it outside?
Yes, you can. Now, if you're planting them in the wintertime, you can put them in a sunny location, and they will take the sun because winter sun is not as intense as summer sun, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So, but once it gets hot, and it comes around the other side, those guys, if they're still in the sun, they will actually go dormant. If they don't rot during the summer, they will come back. You can also plant them in the shade, and they will not go dormant in the summer when it gets hot. Usually, they'll go ahead and stick around. Now, a lot of times, they may not flower. Mm-hmm. They may just be green, but at least they're still there.
Well, and the green, that's just feeding that root bulb.
Exactly.
So you can, now, this isn't a kind of bulb that you would plant like 4 inches deep, right?
No, it's right on the surface. Most people, a lot of times, will, again, you don't want to put soil over the crown. You want to kind of see the top of that bulb a little bit. I've actually taken and cut the bottom of the pot off and actually raised it a little bit so it's slightly up above the ground level, mm-hmm. so that it actually will allow for some settling or for water or, you know, soil or something to wash over the crown or whatever. And actually left that little pot at the top there to make like a little crown for it or a little soaker ring,
kind of a
so to speak.
Yeah,
but you have to make sure you get water in that hole.
But sometimes when you're watering and then all of a sudden the top layer of water drifts down right over the crown.
Right.
So you really have to be careful about that.
Right, right.
That's one of those you don't want.
Right.
And then the colors.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Pinks and whites and reds and purples and combo reds and whites and combo this and that. And we've got miniature ones. We've got ones that have these really cool silver patterns on the leaves.
Oh, my gosh.
So the leaves are actually as pretty as the actual plant itself.
And I see a lot of landscapers using that, especially mm-hmm. in the wintertime,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah.
You know, the HOAs are putting all their winter stuff out right now, and all their plants are out, and they're always gorgeous. And I always like cyclamens. I don't know why, but I just always have. Then my next favorite one are sweet peas.
Sweet peas, yep.
And I remember people talking about sweet peas and how, you know, they have a beautiful fragrance and stuff, but I never was able to grow them in Michigan. Mom and Mom didn't, we didn't have a good space for it. I guess that's the best answer, but I was able to grow them. So tell us about sweet peas, because this is something, everybody, if you've got the space and you've got the area, the good growing conditions for that, they have a wonderful fragrance.
Yes, they do, and they can kind of take over if you're not careful, because they will seed. There are two kinds. There's a knee-high, and then there's the climbing. The knee-high is actually a dwarf, and it won't get as big, about 18 to 24 inches, and then the climbers can get up to six feet.
So if you have a cyclone fence and you want to block off your neighbor?
Yeah. There you go. Or a dog on the other side.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit of fragrance there to help cover up other things.
And we were down in Carlsbad, and they had a maze. It was a sweet pea maze.
Oh, wow.
And they had, you know, you couldn't, they were really high, and so you couldn't always tell where, but they were all blooming. I mean, it was really great. And I guess if I was 3 feet high, I could not see. I mean, as an adult, I could see how to get out of there. But it was a pretty involved, but it was all sweet peas. That's how they made the maize.
Wow.
And I have raised beds, so I put up a trellis on the side of my raised bed, and then my sweet peas grow up the side just straight up. It's a place to grow. It doesn't interfere with my vegetables.
Right, yeah.
I was looking at packages and, gosh,
all the different colors.
English
and purples.
Ones.
Yeah.
Of pastels and all kinds of different things, and they have a wonderful fragrance.
Yeah. So if you got lost in the maze, it wouldn't be so bad, right? You just sit there and smell.
So they weren't in the sun.
Not good.
No, that wasn't good. but it was really fun to go through.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I really like are pinks. And it's really dianthus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And pinks are not made with pinking shears. They don't. Although the flowers kind of look like that. They kind of look like a carnation.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any favorite that you like? I'm trying to think of the one I really like. Of course, I'm not going to remember it. But it made a nice little mound, and I really, really, it was a wonderful flower.
Oh, the little blue-gray guy with the little pink flower? Yeah, I don't remember the name on it, but yeah, you're right. And it looks almost like a armeria.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a blue-gray foliage, and it's real, and little pink flowers come up off of it. Yeah, that's too bad we don't know the name.
Because mine is, and it takes a little while to grow, so they don't get scraggly. That was the thing I liked.
Exactly,
about.
They're tight, like little clowns.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
And they have a bunch of flowers coming
yes.
out. And
yeah.
the carnations don't do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
a little more scraggly.
Yeah,
yeah.
They get long and
mm-hmm.
kind of leggy. But
mm-hmm.
just like with anything, you need to trim those flowers off. They're trying
right.
to go to seed.
Right.
And well, a lot of plants you can bring in the house, the flowers you can bring
mm-hmm.
in the house, that's fine. The pinks, when they're really small, it's really pretty when you look at them. And a lot of times you can shear them off and they already bloom.
Right.
It doesn't, you know, it just depends on the plant and how big it is and how established those roots are.
Right.
One of the other ones that I really liked are primrose. And we have them in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And the first ones I saw were yellow, and they were only yellow.
Mm.
And now I'm seeing they come in multicolored.
Yes. Purples and reds and whites and again combos where they've got different colors in the same one. There's generally the English primrose, there's kind of two kinds that we get. One has a stem that comes up with clusters on the top of the stem,
mm.
and then there's ones that have a bunch of short little stems that come out of the crown of the plant. Both work well. It just depends on if you want a little height on them. Then we also have the aconicas, which have a more the stem on the leaf is about 4 inches with about a 50-cent piece size leaf on it. And the flowers will actually come up on about a 6-inch stem with trumpet-shaped flowers that come off of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Those are called aconicas. And then there's also, and they can also, you have to be careful with those because some people are allergic to them. So be careful with those. They just make you itch.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the fairy primrose, which have little roughly leaves. And they also have a little stem that comes up about 3 inches with little clusters, kind of like a lantana looking head on it, because lots of little flowers.
Oh,
and those are sweet too.
Oh, what a great thing for fairy garden.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That could be a flowering tree.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah.
That sounds really neat. Then we talked about stocks, which I really found by mistake. I think I bought them 1 year,
mm-hmm.
and I went out to the garden and went, "Ooh, something
yeah.
smells really good."
Yeah,
out here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they have a nice little spicy smell to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
sweet
that's
spice.
A good winter one, too.
Yes, it is.
So do those come at different heights, or are those...
Yes, there are different heights, and there's different leaf colors. One, there's one that's kind of a blue, a gray fuzzy,
mm-hmm.
and then there's another one that's green. I kind of like the gray ones a little bit better. They seem to be a little more hardier for me, but each person has their own little thing,
yeah,
so you just kind of...
Different.
You know, gardening is 10% inspiration and 90% experimentation, because you really have to experiment, and then if it works you do it again, if it doesn't work you don't do it again.
It's my husband, who is not a gardener, he does help me dig things and plant things, that part is good, especially the trees,
mm-hmm.
but he'll go out to the garden, he says, well, that died.
Yeah.
And I went, yes it did, it either wasn't supposed to be there,
right?
Or I did something wrong,
right? Exactly
And so everything you plant, even though I'm a master gardener and like to think I can keep everything growing and I have a green thumb, everything doesn't always grow.
It's
some
right.
things die.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Exactly. It's just like with us, we know why it died. It was like, yeah, I watered it too much. Oh, they didn't give it enough water. I mean,
yeah.
It happens.
And we look at it and we think we know what's best,
right.
but it doesn't always happen, or you just didn't get to it.
Right,
like,
right.
I plant
we're
something
busy.
And
yeah.
I went out and, oh my gosh,
yeah.
I forgot to water it.
Right.
It's like, it's going to die.
Right.
And so then you get water and it came back.
Yeah, yeah. It's much easier to bring it back from lack of water than too much water, that's for sure. So
yeah.
the stalks, there is one that's called a 7-day, and it actually will get about 24 inches, and that's a gray leaf variety. It may even get a little bit taller than that.
Oh.
And then most of them are usually around your 12 to 18 inch
mm-hmm.
range.
And when it's just like with anything, always read the label.
Yeah.
I mean, people go, oh, isn't that gorgeous and it's blooming. That might not be the height that it's going to finish at.
Right.
Or you might have something that is a dwarf and you've got something right next to it which is going to be a tall, like a rocket
right,
snapdragon.
Right, right.
They're almost about the same size, but that's not going to be their end height.
Right.
So those cute little white little sticks that they have in there always have a lot of good information. And when I was in high school, I was taking an art class and we walked around the neighborhood and we we came up to a house that had those big cedar trees. Mm. And the cedar tree was growing taller than the house. And I remember our instructor said, so what's wrong with that tree? And I said, no, it's too big for that placement. And she said, it was too big when it was planted.
Mm.
Because it was going to get that high right. as soon as you put it in the ground.
Right.
It's going to grow that big.
Yep.
So always look at your labels and know that if you want something in the back, read it. Okay, 36 inches, ooh, 42, that's going to be great in
yeah.
the back.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes you'll be really surprised when you have a 36-inch plant in the front and you go, well, that was wrong.
Right, right. And then it's also hanging out on the sidewalk and getting over on the lawn. And yeah, exactly.
And you can do that with winter stuff, too.
Right.
That's all different. So
yep.
there are also, I see a lot now is ornamental kale. And,
yes.
And in cabbages now.
Yes.
Everybody's talking about kale and eating kale, but these mm-hmm. aren't quite the same, because they seem to be a little flatter.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not growing as tall, and they're usually like different colors.
Right. And they look kind of like flowers almost. The actual plant itself looks like a nice big roughly flowers. The way you tell the difference between the cabbage and the kale, cabbage, the leaves are not as roughly. It's a little bit smoother. Mm-hmm. And then your kale is roughly. So that's the difference between a cabbage and the kale. They both grow the same. They both kind of look like flowers. And they can get about the cabbage can actually get about 12 inches wide. I've seen them in places like hotels where they've planted them, you know, mass.
Yeah.
And those things are just spectacular. Now, I had one year that actually grew past that. It flowered. It gets a yellow spike, bunch of different flowers on a spike. It's yellow. And then it causes it to stretch out. And that, it's bolting.
Yeah.
They usually do that in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
If you cut off that flower, you can actually cause it to kind of stay in that, again, cut off the flower
sure.
because now he's thinking, okay, I got to start all over again.
Yep.
And he actually started sending off arms.
Oh my gosh.
And this thing looked like a cactus almost, you know, because it was like branched off and it had these little pom-poms at the end of it. I had people call it, what the heck is that thing? Yeah, and it grew in the summer, actually.
Oh,
it was kind of in a shaded spot, and it actually grew in the summer. It only lasted a year, but it was still
sure.
it was kind of fun to do it. So they're an interesting plant. And again, if you get some in the nursery, sometimes they'll have like a 2 foot or 2 foot, 2 inch trunk on them.
Mm-hmm.
You can bury them down low, and that's okay. That one, you can put soil over the crown on that one. That's not a problem. The cabbage and kale, you can actually bury those stems.
Uh-huh.
And put that puffball on the top of the soil.
Oh,
so that's a tip, you
yeah.
know.
And they take up a lot of room. I mean, if you have a lot of area that you want to cover, mm-hmm. I planted one that had red in the center. It
mm-hmm.
bloomed red in the center, and it was blooming at Christmas
yeah.
with the red center.
Nice,
and
nice.
It just looked really great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was, and that definitely, and that's true of even vegetables in
right.
the winter for
right.
cabbage.
Right, yeah.
That's a good plant to have in the winter for that.
Yeah.
So the kale, and I'm going to say this wrong, hellebores.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some that was called Gem, I think it was. It was a white hellebore with a magenta rim around the flower. And
yeah.
it was just gorgeous, and there's a pink quartz. And so do you carry any of those hellebores?
We do have them, yes. They do come in different colors and sizes. They're not as popular as they used to be, so we don't carry as many of the varieties as we used to, but we can order them.
Yeah. I saw the, most of the hellebores that I originally saw were kind of browny purple
mm-hmm.
and a little maybe chartreuse green
mm-hmm.
in them. But they have some new ones out mm-hmm. now that are coming out like in whites with, and some are even pink.
Yeah.
And they grow in the shade, I know.
Yes,
they
do.
Really well in the
mm-hmm.
shade.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I haven't been that's why I ask, because I really haven't seen them. And the ones that I have seen in the nursery have been the older looking colors, and they're kind of muted, muddy, and not that nice sparkling color that I would like to see.
Yeah.
Just a hint, hint, hint.
Yes, or growers. Yeah. Well, the growers. It's the growers, because they're not growing them. You know, again, it's back to growers are only going to grow things that are, number one, easy to grow, that aren't just turning around and dying on them every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And number two, are popular.
Yeah.
So if it's not popular, they're not going to grow them.
Yeah. Well, maybe if people start asking for them.
Exactly.
Who knows?
Exactly.
I don't know. I tried planting some here. They didn't grow as well, but, you know, it could have been just because it was my first year here, and I didn't know what I was doing, which isn't unusual.
We all learn every day, I tell you.
I probably have, you know, 2 or 3 zones in my yard.
Right. Yes, exactly. We have microzones all over in our yards.
Yes.
Exactly.
I have one whole side is shade and one whole side that's right next to a cement slab wall. Mm-hmm. Well, I tried growing tomatoes 1 year and just they all kept getting dried out, and I was trying, but they're getting sun. Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah.
But it was way too much.
Right.
And so
reflective heat. Yep.
Now I need to plant sunny things in that area.
Right. Right. Again, experimentation. Yes.
Yeah, they didn't grow. My neighbors did fine. I had hardly any tomatoes, and I'm going, what's wrong?
Yeah, right.
But that's exactly why. So now I know that the hellebores, I definitely need to put in a shadier spot. And but the other thing that I really like out here are the California poppies. Mm-hmm. I just love them. They're so pretty, and they just are so delicate. But there's also the Iceland poppy. Is it
correct?
Is that the same?
No, they're different. Iceland poppies are from Europe and some of the Asian places, and California poppies are from California, and they are natives, and they are our state flower. So you're not supposed to disturb them if they're growing all on their own. You're supposed to leave them be. But we do sell them in seed form, and we also sell them as a growing plant. I haven't seen them yet. And there's another one that we get. It's called an alpine poppy, which I believe is in the same family, but it's not as hardy. And when it comes in, it's these cute little gray, and they look like little grasses, and they got these cute little yellow flowers on there, and it seems like as soon as those yellow flowers are done, they're pretty much done too. So I don't recommend those, but they sure are very cute for a little while.
For a fairy garden, wouldn't that be pretty cute?
Yeah, it'd probably be all right for a fairy garden.
Maybe make a little green hedge out of the green one.
Yeah, exactly.
In the summertime.
Yes.
Hard to tell. But those were, I used to grow poppies in Michigan, but these were very tall.
Iceland poppies are taller, and they have the bigger flowers. The foliage is more like, look like kind of little rags.
Yeah,
down, you know, it's kind of jaggedy
furry.
Edge.
It's
yes,
long,
yeah, it's furry.
Like little spikes.
Yes,
not,
yes.
They
and then
they,
right. And then the flower comes up about 12 inches or so, and it's got that pretty little, you know, 5 or 6 petaled, big petals with a big yellow center, and the bees just love those guys.
Yeah, I used to plant, mine were always orange with a black center, and those used to get really nice and tall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see those as much here, but the California poppies, I know they come in pastels and all different colors, and they look so pretty when you've got a bunch of them.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I think that's a key when you're planting, even your winter gardens, is just don't put one here and then 2 inches away, another one in a big long line. A lot of times, the clusters of plants in a circle or an area gives you that pop of color.
Right.
And so when I'm buying my winter things, I usually, well, summer too, is I try to go with colors that are going to be complementary.
Right.
For those of you who aren't real good with color, there are color wheels out there.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
So you want to go opposite to the color wheel. And,
right.
Or like if you've got a plant that's got maybe 2 colors in it, then pick one of those colors and put a plant that has that color in it next
correct.
To it.
Tie it in.
And it really will make a difference. And you can do that in the wintertime, too.
Yes, you sure
can.
It
doesn't just have to be
it.
So we've got, we're outside. Now we're going to go inside because we can do, unless you've got some other great ideas on things that we could plant that we didn't cover.
Well, there's the nemesias. We can do nemesias, and those come in. There are perennial and annual nemesias. Perennial meaning it lives year after year, although they're short-lived perennials. So the smaller ones like that, if they're not woody-stemmed, usually they last a season or two, a year or two.
Are those little blue ones?
There's blue. They've got got white, and there's a white fragrant one called Innocent that has a fragrance to it, which is kind of nice. And it's more of a compact plant. They're trying to crossbreed with the annual varieties, which have bigger flowers.
Uh-huh.
So they're starting to get some more colors coming in, but they're still not quite there. They're not quite as hardy as those original blue and purple one and the white one.
So they really don't get really tall, do they?
They can get about 6 to 8 inches, and they'll probably spread about the same, and they can kind of hang a little bit. So you could put them at the edge of a hanging basket, and they'll kind of trail down a little bit off the side. Another nice one that we carry year round, and it grows, is Bacopa.
It's a trailing,
and it comes in pink and blue, but there's a purple one now, and then there's a white one that's got some nice big flowers on it. They flower the whole time. I mean, they're flowering the whole time. They can trail up to about 4 feet. Problem with them, though, is once they get really long, they start to die from the center and then work their way out. So then they just look yucky, and you end up throwing them away.
So can you trim them back?
You can. A lot of times what I'll do, if you stay up on them, it's when you let them just grow to their full potential that they have that die in the center and work their way. And verbena can do that, too. It'll die in the center and work its way out. But if you stay up on them, you can kind of lift them up, and that dead junk that's underneath it, cut some of that dead stuff out, then give it a little haircut around the edge. That'll usually rejuvenate them.
Oh, that's terrific. I really like them. I have them under my roses.
Okay.
And I also heard that of course, like anything, if you don't keep them wet or watered, they're going to die.
Right.
They need water.
They do need a little more water.
They don't come back.
Right, right. Yeah.
So I can attest to that.
Yes.
Because I have some that aren't growing under my roses. But so anyway, we have probably about 3 or 4 minutes left. I want to cover African violets. That was always one of my favorite ones for winter color in the house because there's so many different colors that you can get in variegated.
Right.
The leaves are all.
And minis.
Yes, minis. That's right. So what's the best way to maintain African violet in the house?
Well, they want to be in a bright window, not a hot sun beating down through but they do want to be in a bright window to get them to flower, and they usually you water them from underneath there because they have a fuzzy leaf. They don't like to have water on top of them. So I let mine grow fairly dry before I water them again. They do have pots that you can that are porous in the center, and then they go down into a water reservoir that you fill with water. A lot of people think you leave water in that all the time. You don't. You put water in there, let them absorb it. As long as the soil is moist, you leave the water out of there. Once the soil dries again, then you can put the water back in there. Let them absorb it from underneath. If you don't have that pot, you can certainly take them and put them in a tray of water and just let them up-soak that water, and then put them back in your decorative pot if you want to. Or you would just soak them well, try not to get water on the foliage.
Well, what I used to do with mine is put that pea gravel down.
Okay.
And then I would put the plant in there, and I would put all mine in there, and then I would put water in them and let the pot, if I was using like one of the clay pots, it would absorb some of it. But the roots would actually go down into the pea gravel.
Oh,
and then I didn't keep the pea gravel totally wet all the time.
Okay.
I would just, because it was about, not about a half inch deep. And then that way there was usually water down at the bottom, and when it, I could put my finger down there and see if there's any water down there. If I need to add more, I could not only keep them watered, but also some of the humidity would come up too.
Right, and I was just going to say that. Yeah, the humidity. Now, was that in Michigan? Was it?
Yeah.
Is it drier there than here?
It's dry because we have our furnaces that come on.
Oh, all right. And okay, so, that's okay.
I can see that. Not very humid in the wintertime.
All right,
and so that was so I always had to have that, but I also had grow lights too, so because
no sun,
in the wintertime, you got nothing, and that's not very good.
Yeah.
So what am I also, for inside color, we can force bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the bulbs that we can force?
You can do the hyacinths, the paper whites, the amaryllis. A lot of times you see those for Christmas gifts.
Mm-hmm.
People spread them up for Christmas gifts. So where you just, they've got bulb jars that you can use, or you can use a pot with rocks, and then you just want to put your bulbs in the rock or in the bulb pot, and just the water needs to be over the root area. But you don't want to keep the bulb itself wet.
No.
You just want the roots to be in the water.
And I've put amaryllis in at Christmas time, gave one to my mom. She had never had one before.
Mm.
And they grow so fast when
mm-hmm.
they start to grow, and
yeah.
then all of a sudden you have this flower, and it stays
yep.
there for a really long time. It's
yep.
a really nice present.
Yep.
And then there's also Christmas cactus. Which,
yes, we just started getting them.
Oh, gal.
Yeah.
So many pretty colors in that.
Yes, they do.
Well, we've got a kind of, it's been a joy talking to you. We have so much information that we covered
yeah.
on this one. It's really been great.
Awesome.
But we're running out of time. So I just want to remind people that this is the In the Garden Show, and we are on KUCI 88.9 in Irvine, and come and visit us again next week on Thursday morning at 8:30 for In the Garden.